The first scripture today comes from Leviticus chapter 27, verses 26. No one, however, may dedicate the firstborn of an animal, since the firstborn already belongs to the Lord. Whether an ox or a sheep, it is the Lord's. Second scripture reading comes from Numbers chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. The Lord also said to Moses, I have taken the Levites from among the Israelites in place of the first male offspring of every Israelite woman. The Levites are mine. For all the firstborn are mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set apart for myself every firstborn in Israel. Whether human or animal, they are to be mine. I am the Lord. The third scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Amen. Thank you, Nathan. I want to share today, and I hope that you have heard this before, but God is a jealous God. When He creates something that is so wonderful and eternal as you, He's going to be jealous of it. He's going to want it for Himself. And His longing for you, we cannot fully fathom or understand here on earth. There will be a day with Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will enter heaven's gates, and then so many more things we will understand. And we'll have the opportunity to be there for eternity. For eternity. But until we get there, and for this time being, I hope that I can encourage you today. And even as I was in preparation, and even yesterday, the message weighed heavy upon my heart at times, because it's such an important message. Because you may not have something to cheer about today. You may not have a family worth cheering about. You may not have had a dad or a parent or that figure in your life to brag about, to tell wonderful stories. Your children, who knows what they may say about their experience, or the children that come and gather for Vacation Bible School, if they could really tell about their home life. The stories would surprise us. There would be things that would disappoint us. There would be stories that would make us cry. I am not here today also to cause more guilt or to create more hate, or for you to even wish that you never had come today. I'm here today to encourage you that no matter what has happened in the past, it is in the past, and we can go forward. I want to encourage you as grandparents and parents and moms and dads, as adults, coaches and teachers, leaders. You may not feel like you're a leader in any way, shape, or form, but you may just be a parent that goes and sits on the bleachers. All those kids are seeing you as an adult, seeing you, how you act and react to life and the things around you, and even in your own family moments. I pray that you would find great hope in the gospel. I've seen in my few years of ministry, it is great for a church to have a van ministry, and you go out and pick up kids and you bring them in on a Wednesday night or Sunday night or even Sunday morning. It's great to gather up those children and bring them in for Sunday school, VBS. And it's great for them to hear the message. But then it's even more wonderful when you see walking through the door comes the children and the mom. And that's just that unit is just a little bit stronger because they are growing, both growing together spiritually. The mom's getting nurtured. She's in the presence of fellow believers and hearing the word, and the child in Sunday school or in vacation Bible school. And together they go home and they talk about Jesus and they talk about the church and what they learn and talk about their teacher or lesson or what maybe what the pastor shared about Jesus and being Mary's firstborn or whatever. But let me tell you, folks, that when I look at the church doors and those entrance doors open up and I see a dad leading his children into the house of the Lord. And then comes the children and the little ones tagging along, and there is mom, dad, children together in church, together in worship, together as part of the church family. That right there is a blessing that the church has overlooked for many years. The church did not appreciate it when it was the norm. The church did not support the family unit as needed. And I'm talking about the church across our nation, not just about one in particular church or one denomination. I'm talking across the board, across the nation. So many things we did not appreciate when that family unit came to church. But as a father, what a position, what a privilege to have that potential as a father to bring influence to the family unit. There's so many studies and so many numbers and figures out there that even in 2014, almost 10 years ago, the data and information shows that over 40% of babies that were born, they were born out of wedlock. And I'm sure it's even more today. And there's all kinds of figures, but I just want to share these for your information, not to discourage you that your situation or your child, your son or daughter will fall in any of these. But may we realize how important it is for us to be a positive influence. Dad, mom, teacher, coach, leader of the community, leader in the church. 90% of all homeless and runaways come from fatherless homes. 85% of all fatherless children have behavior disorders. 85% of youth in prison come from a fatherless home. 75% of adolescents being treated for drug overdose and abuse, yes, fatherless. 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers, no dad. 75% of rapists motivated by misplaced anger didn't have a dad growing up. 71% of all high school dropouts didn't have a dad. 70% of juveniles in state-regulated institutions come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth who commit suicide do not have a father. 57% of the fatherless homes are of color, and it breaks it down from Hispanics and clear down, you name it. It's just figures and numbers that should bring us to our knees, praying for the Lord to help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. A position of privilege, potential to influence. As men, influence the whole family, influence within the church, influence within the school, influence within the community, a position of privilege and potential. Sounds like we're falling short with those numbers before us. As I continue to read, articles this week about fatherlessness and things, fathers checking out. Billy Graham picture here, I asked Mike to post it here. This is what Billy Graham said. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Can we get an amen? Thank you, Billy Graham. Who among us here today is even the firstborn within your family? The firstborn son or daughter of a family unit. For those of us who are the firstborn, we can have stories to tell about what it meant to be the firstborn. We can look back over our lives and our childhood and see the advantages and disadvantages that that came with. I was fortunate to be the firstborn, oldest of five boys. My four brothers, they wanted everything I had. They wanted to do whatever I did. The holidays were never that great or fun when Mom dressed us all in matching outfits. That was never that fun, going to church on that Sunday. Same shirts, same sweaters, same shoes, same pants. But yet the firstborn pays the way. The firstborn pays the way for siblings. As I said in Numbers 18:15, everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shall surely redeem. And the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. End quote. You see, the firstborn has this position, has this unsaid honor and dignity and leadership and management and responsibility that influences the whole family from top to bottom. The ultimate and greatest and perfect firstborn was who? As I talked to the children, Jesus. Jesus being the firstborn of Mary. Where even in the New Testament, Colossians 1:15 tells us this about Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So when we have this picture of Jesus, we also have a picture of God as well, because he was God. Scripture even goes on to tell us about Jesus. Jesus Christ was the first to rise from the dead, to never die again. And how that all who believe him, all, it says, all will one day follow Jesus into resurrection and be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Yes, we are made in the image of God. No wonder he's jealous. No wonder he wants to be your number one father. No wonder he wants to be first in your life, because you are created in his image. So can we agree that God has a special calling upon each and every firstborn? Absolutely. And where did it begin? It began with his people, with the nation of Israel. God had a special desire for the firstborn. We began to understand how important the firstborn was when God spoke to Moses, preparing the Israelites for the exodus out of Egypt. You can read about it in chapter 4, Exodus, verse 22 and 23 says, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh," God is talking to Moses, "thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I tell you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn." End quote. So you fast forward to Exodus chapter 12. The Lord spoke to Moses and gave these instructions to do what? Put the blood of the Passover over the door frames. Put it over your door frames. Tell everybody, tell my people, Moses. 12:29, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock," end quote. You see, Israel throughout the Old Testament is God's firstborn, a nation above all nations. Israel and always will be God's chosen people. And the Hebrew family, the firstborn son would get the inheritance that was twice as much as his brothers. The firstborn son would receive the birthright. The birthright came with a threefold advantage. And I tell you, first, the firstborn was to be the leader and head of household. Secondly, the double portion of the estate. And third, the firstborn would automatically have favored close covenant relationship with the Lord. Parents, moms, dads, grandparents, adults, we have children to care for, to protect, and to raise up. Do we have our ears on and our eyes open? What a privilege to be the firstborn, but yet what a huge responsibility for the parents. A huge responsibility this puts on the parents. Why? Because the firstborn has this potential to influence great things. Great things for God, or to cause great discourse, turmoil, disbelief, and trouble for the family, for the church, and even the community. God wants the firstborn. You better believe that if God wants it, Satan wants it too. If God wants it, and it's God, Satan wants it. Satan wants that firstborn of your family just as much as God wants him. God's gift to your family has a target on it. Satan has a target on that firstborn because he knows it's a gift to steal. And if he can steal that gift, he has an upper hand on the rest of the family. Nobody wants to give Satan the upper hand. You see, God made the Levites a substitute for the firstborn of the Israelites. The Levites performed all of the holy duties in God's tabernacle. You know, through that Exodus and through Moses and all these things, God chose the Levites and he gave them this responsibility. As we think about our firstborns, maybe you as the firstborn, we think about the Bible and all the firstborns there. Did they fulfill all their position of privilege and potential without sin? Absolutely not. No, they did not. Many fell and many failed before getting their acts together, and some never ever came around to the Lord and to serving God as God had planned and hoped for and dreamed of. Esau, he despised his birthright. Cain, the firstborn, failed to be his brother's keeper. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, lost his position because of sexual sin. And Jacob, on his deathbed, gave Reuben's birthright to Joseph, his youngest. Many firstborns rebelled against God. Just to name a few, Adam, Samson, King Saul, Amon, Nadab, and there are others. Others. The firstborn nation called Israel, the first nation, they failed by rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. They were to be the nation that would take the gospel unto all the world so that the world would be saved and all nations would know Jesus Christ. But it didn't happen. Parents, grandparents, you may have a lot of things that didn't happen that you anticipated. You may have a lot of disappointments and expectations that were never met and they may never ever be met. And my heart breaks with you because we've known heartbreak like that as well. But I encourage you and I ask you, are you still praying? Are you praying and are you ready to keep up the fight? To fight the devil off of your children? To defend your children from Satan? Are you fighting for this earthly and for the spiritual life? The battle is here. It is going on. Are you fighting? And I pray that you are, because there is eternity to be lost. There is eternity to be lost. Yes, their soul was at stake. Their soul is at stake at being lost for eternity. And this, too, should bring us to the front line of that spiritual battlefield. To the front line, not wavering in the back, hoping somebody else gets the job done. Not waiting until they get a little bit older and I'll bring them to church. Not wavering in the back, say, when I get around to it, I'll be the parent that they need to be. But what did we read in 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh, and he seeketh whom he may devour. And if he knows he can get the firstborn, he has great hope that the rest of the family, the next one, two, three, whatever it is, they will follow. They will want to see and be what the oldest does. I ask Satan, I ask you to remember, Satan wants your firstborn, and he knows the advantage that it gives him, because it affects the siblings, it affects cousins, it affects the whole family unit, it affects co-workers, it affects the teachers, it affects the classroom, it infects the workplace, it infects and it infects and it infects everything into the way of darkness. And darkness one day will lead to a place called hell. A place called hell. So we're living in this woke culture and society. The dismantling of the church and Christianity and the family unit. Hell has already started here on earth because of this. But I do not want to leave you with sorrow and heartache and hand-wringing and worry and feeling worse than when you came today. I want to remind you that God created the birth order. And because God created the birth order, God has a plan. And God's plan is holy. And it is just. And it is right. Because God has this great holy plan for you and for that firstborn son or daughter, let us know that Jesus wins. Jesus wins, and we are going to be winners in the name of Jesus. Things will not be perfect. Things will not go smooth. We will not always have a chance to be in the easy reclining chair, because we are called to be on the front line, ready for battle. Yes, the firstborn comes with many challenges. Many people joke that the first child does not come with a handbook. That is true, but where did it come from? God the Father. And God has a holy plan. We must fight the spiritual battle against Satan and the evil in this world. You must be consistent in your prayer and consistent in proclaiming the Word of God on your own. Jesus, when he was tempted, what did he do? He hit Satan with holy words. He spoke God's word back at him. He spoke the teachings of God. You and I need the Bible in our hands. You and I need the Scripture in our hearts. And you and I need the words of God's teaching in our mouth and on our tongues. As Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, as Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I pray that you would ask the Lord to help you in this area. I have to ask him every day, Lord, how do I do that? How am I to do that in this day and age and raise my children? I'm still asking the Lord every day, and I pray that you will as well. Because we're reminded what Jesus said to Satan, Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's going to get us through life. That's going to help us be the parents we need to be. I want you to know that I love you. I appreciate you listening today. And know that I am a dad. And you are my church. I want the best for you. I want the very best for your children and grandchildren. Would you pray with me? Father God, the enemy is alive and the enemy is in this world. But we have a Savior and his name is Jesus. And he is your son. And we thank you, Jesus. And I know, God, you have a purpose and a plan for each and every son and daughter. And it is a holy and divine plan. We may not be seeing that plan as you see it today, Lord, but we pray and we hope that we have a day that we can see it. So, Lord, I pray for your church and I pray for your people. Fill us. Fill us up, Lord, with your word so that our hearts and that our homes would be a place of safety and security and full of God's love. Fill our homes, Lord, as you fill our hearts. And this I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.